Is America on the cusp of a new world order? Is it a push into the secret society fantasies of a utopia for the elites and a digital matrix hell for the normies and the masses? On July 18th, 2024, I made a prediction about Trump using the term New Age in his RNC acceptance speech, and later that night, he actually said it. Worse than that, he actually said the New Golden Age, which is an occult concept I discussed way back in my very first book 12 years ago. And today we're going to reveal the final game plan of the Illuminati revealed at the Republican National Convention, as well as a major synchronicity with the film The Sum of All Fears. But it may not be what you've heard online. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt, and you're listening to the Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture Podcast. We've got another banger, folks. We're going to cover a film analysis of The Sum of All Fears, which has lots of symbolism in it. We're going to talk about, and it confirms all the things we've been talking about, the Freemason cryptocracy, a Nazi deep state, this opera of Nessun Dorma, and a little bit more of the symbolism of 93, which, if you haven't heard the first two episodes of the Trump conspiracy, the Trump assassination conspiracy, this is part three. We talked about all these things. And we're going to bring it home with a breakdown of Trump's RNC acceptance speech, which I listened to the whole thing. And, you know, I make a lot of predictions. And it's a very low success rate because I'm an honest person. A lot of people will be like, oh, I predicted this. You know, a lot of people twist things into, you know, fulfilling their predictions. And, you know, I do it every year with my wrap-up New Year's show. And it's a lower success rate. I'd say it's below 50% for sure. Probably somewhere between 20 and 50, somewhere in there. Somehow I got this one right. And we're going to unpack it fully because I told you, I said, if he says these words, run for the hills. And I don't know. I'm not up in the hills yet, turns out. But he laid down verbiage of a new age. And he called it the New Golden Age, which is a concept I cover. It's one of the first concepts I ever discussed, and it was in my first book. And we're gonna break it all down for you today, because there's other symbolism, Black Rock of Saturn, and even some Twin Peaks connections to the Black Lodge and Bob. crazy stuff today, and we're gonna cover it all today. Housekeeping, one piece of housekeeping for you: that 80% off code is still good. This is the last reminder. Because August 1st, it is no longer going to happen, and you're going to have to wait another year, 2 years, I don't know. Depends on when I'm feeling froggy about offering the discount code for the VIP section. You already know the drill. Three supporter feeds. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher is the most popular. It's the one I tell everyone to go try out, because it's, you know, probably the best overall, and I get to interact in the comments. And also, by the way, if you were like, well, Isaac, I want a coupon code to try Patreon, I might be able to do that for you. I got an email recently from Patreon asking if I'm interested in doing such a thing, a discount code. I said, yes, we'll see what happens. I don't know if that means they're rolling that option out. I have no idea. But look out for that if you're hell-bent on doing the Patreon thing because you don't want to do the other ones. And the other one's Apple Podcast Premium. That's the easiest one. There's a free trial for that one. And then the VIP section, which is the clunkiest one. Clunky meaning all you got to do is copy and paste an RSS feed into one of the compatible apps. That's all you got to do. But some people don't like that. It's confusing and they're like, man, I don't get it. And that's okay. I support you in that endeavor. So, and that's why I send a little free little, personalized video when you sign up and say, hey, this is what you got to do. Thanks for joining the team. You're the best. Okay. All right. Links in the show notes. As always, if you want to get in on the VIP section, that's the only one I can offer the discount code at this time. Support the show or I end up being a shill, more so than I already am. You don't need me to tell you that lots of there's not many organic shows out there. We'll say that, okay? A lot of them are propped up by some big outfit. It's some actor who's handled by some talent agency, and then they have all their actor buddies from the same talent agency coming on the show. I mean, come on, give me a break. Talk about propaganda finding a way to infiltrate podcasting. This used to be a pirate radio thing, and they ruined it. I don't have big sponsorships. It's just me. chilling in here, chilling in the office. If you want to support that, I'm not flying up in the clouds. I rely on you. I rely on you to buy me one cup of coffee a month. My God, is that too much to ask? I thought we were closer than that. I thought we were friends. Also, super soft t-shirts still up. Lots of you buy. I won't remind you again of that. Gumroad.com/IsaacW. Link in the show notes as always. Lots of you buying them already. I shipped a ton of them. I appreciate it. Thank you for your support. And you're going to love those shirts. It's going to be your favorite shirt. You're going to walk around everywhere, and you're going to make all kinds of cool friends who say, hey, I listen to that show too. I hear it all the time from people. It's a you're basically paying to have friends, I think. Anyway, that's it. Okay. Sum of all fears. Let's start with that, and then we're going to unpack the Trump RNC speech. And you got to stick around for that part. You got to stick around for that part. I'm telling you right now. Which leads me to the thing, because you're going to say, well, Isaac, I've never seen Sum of All Fears. Should I watch this before you spoil the plot? No, not really. I watched it twice when I heard all of this stuff, because there's a link to the RNC thing. I'll explain. It's a good enough movie. It's not you. It's not a real mind bender. You already know what's going to happen. I mean, kind of. It was all right. It's a unique kind of movie, but if you haven't seen it by now, it's from 2002. I hadn't seen it because I don't really like these kinds of movies. I mean, they're fine. I don't have a problem with it. I just, it's not my bag. It's 2 hours. It's a half hour too long, easily. So, no, I think you're safe to just go ahead and spoil the plot, okay? Cast. Ben Affleck. You may know Ben Affleck from the iconic frustrated smoking meme. Or his marriages to J-Lo. Or Armageddon, one of my favorite films. I know it's cheesy. I shed a little tear by the end of Armageddon. It gets me every time. But, you know, he's a very engaged politically, socially, pretty liberal dude. He was married to Jennifer Garner, and both of them had major roles with the Hollywood CIA machine. You know, Ben Affleck was also, because in Sum of All Fears, he's a CIA agent. He was also in a film called Argo about the film industry, specifically making propaganda for the CIA. And then Jennifer Garner, his ex-wife, was in a show called Alias. Again, CIA propaganda. Project Mockingbird. They've been doing it. They're still doing it. And I'm okay with it. My question is always, is it for the better? I don't like manipulation and propaganda because it assumes that I can't make these decisions for myself. But on the same hand, I understand that, you know, some of us are sheep. A lot of us are sheep, and we need to be led down the path. I don't know what the right answer is. I'm just here to present it. You decide for yourself. Morgan Freeman, you know him. He's in a lot of great movies. Shawshank Redemption, Seven, Dark Knight Trilogy. I don't know if you guys are watching Love Island. I was shocked. Kendall said that Shawshank Redemption was his favorite movie. I thought he was like a Fast and Furious kind of guy. And Lucy, a movie I covered in my Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult Use Your Illusion 2 book. His Wikipedia said he was into Zoroastrianism, which I found interesting because that's kind of one of the jump-off points for a lot of occult thinking, paganism, and so on. And Morgan Freeman played God in Bruce Almighty, which is pretty curious. And then who else? You know, James Cromwell, Liev Schreiber, Ray Donovan, you know. Anyway, let's get into it. I'm going to run you through the whole film. Quickly. Plot spoilers ahead. If you were sensitive about me spoiling the plot to a 22-year-old predictable action movie, get ready. Starts out with talk about, you know, because you got to, you know, we're Americans and we don't follow every single thing. Has to remind us of history. 1973, there was a surprise attack from Israel. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I got it wrong. In Israel. Is it from Syria or is it from Israel? I don't know. It doesn't matter. An Israeli A4 jet takes off with a nuke to go on some patrol of some kind. Gets shot down. And the nuke is now loose, right? We've got a broken arrow. We got a broken arrow. And Nick Cage shows up. But he's actually John Travolta. Because he had to take his face off. And, you know, Anyway, now you got a nuke chilling in the deserts, and 29 years later, some Arabic guy just digging around in the desert finds it. That's such a trope in Hollywood. There's always, you know, Middle Eastern guys out in the desert just digging things. That's all they do. That's their chief employment, apparently. I don't know. It's what they always show in the movies. It's crazy. And I know that's not all they do. I have a friend who's from Saudi Arabia, and he definitely doesn't do that. But now, anyway, so they dig up this nuke, and, you know, oh my God, what are they going to do with this nuke? Well, we'll find out. Then it bounces over to America. Now they're in Virginia at a place called Mount Weather. Now, Mount Weather was actually a location discussed in Bill Cooper, my red pill daddy, Bill Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse book. He was heavy back in his day. He was heavy on this idea of FEMA and being the sort of secret government, the deep state, and how they were going to use, what do you call it? Natural disasters as a way of ushering in this sort of totalitarian thing. That was a big thing in the late 90s, early 2000s. So anyways, we're at Mount Weather, and President Fowler, he's the president of the United States, played by James Cromwell, and his cabinet. They're doing some exercise prep work for, nuclear holocaust, I guess. And they start discussing this Russian nuke facility, Arzamas. It's a place, I guess, in Russia where they make nukes. Okay, whatever. Now we're over to the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. And this headquarters actually has some illuminated confirmed symbolism. If you look at the floor at the main lobby, it's got the black and white tessellating floor, right? Same as what you see in the Freemason temples, or lodges, excuse me. Because there's a deep embedded connection between secret societies and intelligence organizations. They both follow similar protocols. That's why John Dee is the first sort of 007 agent. So, Ben Affleck, he is playing the CIA agent Jack Ryan. He was also in Argo, as we already talked about. Now, Jack Ryan is a character by, Tom Clancy. And he was previously played by Harrison Ford, and then later played by Chris Pine and John Krasinski. Jim. He'll always be Jim to me. And Alric Baldwin, he got out of trouble recently, didn't he? Wasn't he flying around with Epstein back in the day, and then he shot somebody on the scene on the Rust film? Lots of trouble there for Alric Baldwin. Anyways, Jack Ryan's like Tom Clancy CIA action figure. And that's Ben Affleck in this movie. Now, the new Russian president is a guy named Alexander Nemirov. And Jack Ryan at the CIA just so happened to write a whole dissertation about this guy. So he's the expert, all right? And he's the expert of the new incoming Russian president. So now, all of a sudden, he's the sweetheart at the CIA. And they're taking him around to meet all the big dogs at the CIA. This includes Morgan Freeman. He is the director of the CIA. His name is William Cabot. And, you know who else was the director of the CIA? Was George W. Bush from the Yale Skull and Bones. Bonesman. Again, secret societies, intelligence agencies are all closely intertwined. I think the Cabot is a Illuminati bloodline as well, if I'm not mistaken. Should I look it up for you guys real quick? I think I'll look it up real quick. And what are the 13... Illuminati bloodlines, Mr. Google. Oh, it wants to take me right to the CIA webpage. And I'm not going to click that because I don't have my VPN active. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe. I think the Cabots are one of the 13 bloodlines. Doesn't matter. Moving on. Did a little homework for you guys. A little homework. You guys go tell me. Find it. C-A-B-O-T. And, you know, there's lots of tropes in the movie of of you know, because Jack Ryan, he's new to the upper echelons of CIA, and you know, lots of William Cabot's always like, "Welcome to the CIA, sport," you know, that kind of stuff. This is the kind of stuff that I don't like. That I'm like, this is so predictable. Good God. President Nemirov is talking about rebuilding the Russian Empire. But Jack Ryan insists, no, actually, Nemirov's actually way more chill than that. He's just placating the hardliner Russians. Because I guess, I don't know Russian history and stuff, or politics. But that's the whole tension of this film, is that Nemirov, so America thinks that the Russian sort of hardliners are all about rebuilding the Russian Empire and taking over Europe. And Jack Ryan, he's the guy, he's like, no, I studied this guy. He's actually chill. He's not trying to do any of that. He's just trying to sort, he might say that stuff, but he's just placating the hardcores that think that they should do that, but he's not actually going to do that. He's a good guy. All right. But I mean, that's what we're being told about Russia to this day with Putin. That's why he's supposedly infiltrating Ukraine. So is it propaganda? I certainly don't know. I don't know. It's out of my wheelhouse of control. So Jack Ryan, we meet his girlfriend. She's a surgeon, Dr. Kathy. And it's a corny sort of True Lies shtick. She thinks he's a boring librarian, historian, because he can't tell her he's in the CIA. He can't tell her he's a badass, so we're all in on it. We're like, she doesn't know he's a badass. And, you know, don't get committed to that viewpoint for too long, because about 20 minutes into the movie, all of a sudden, like, she's going with him to the White House Correspondents' Dinner and hanging out with the CIA, as if, I guess he tells her? I don't know. It's weird. But at the beginning, it's this whole shtick. She's talking to her friends, and she's like, I don't know, he's kind of boring. He works, he's a historian, and the girlfriend's like, ew, what a puss. Anyway. Okay, now there's these two mysterious guys, and they're emailing about this Mark 12 nuclear fission bomb. And the one dude's like, I procured it from this Middle Eastern guy digging around in the middle of the desert. And he's like, I'm going to offer it to you, Mr. Mysterious Guy. They're both smoking in the shadows, both brooding in their little rich libraries or whatever. And what happens is there's one of the guys, his name is Olson. He's the guy that procured the nuke from the Middle Eastern dude digging around in the desert. And he's offering it to this Australian neo-Nazi billionaire named Richard Dresler. Okay, so Dresler and Olson, Nazis. Okay, so the CIA, they actually go to Russia to visit President Nemirov and, you know, I don't know, do political things, I guess. And Nemirov tells Cabot, Morgan Freeman, that because, I forgot it, let me back up, Russia invades Chechnya, kind of like Russia or Ukraine invading Ukraine today. In the movie, Russia invades Chechnya. And this is why there's all this dialogue about how, ooh, the, you know, Americans are like, oh, Russia's trying to rebuild the empire and take over Europe, but then Jack Ryan's over in the corner like, no, this isn't Nemirov. He's not like that, right? So they go there. Nemirov tells Cabot, look, this Chechen thing is an internal affair. Chechnya is a nation full of criminals, and you guys should have no concerns in dealing with this. We got this. Sounds very similar, parallel to what's going on today. So Russia, they're giving Americans a tour of this Azmirov bomb facility. There's three bomb scientists that are missing, though, because the CIA, they're on top of all this, right? And the CIA, they know that these three guys are the brains of the entire nuclear bomb building operation, and they're all gone. Where are they? They ask. I say, where are these three guys? And the Russians has all these excuses, like, oh, the one guy's died, the other guy's sick, blah, blah, blah. But the CIA is not buying it, okay? Because they got an insider with KGB intelligence codenamed Spinnaker. So Cabot and crew gets back to America, and they're like, we're not buying it. Something's up. So Cabot orders John Clark, that's that's Ray Donovan. He's like, yo, you're going to Russia. Figure it out. Where's these three nerds? Meanwhile, Nazi number one, Olson, loads up this nuke on an Israeli cargo ship. Foreboding, ... foreshadowing. Meanwhile, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and again, Jack Ryan, he's there with his girlfriend, who 2 seconds ago she thought he was a historian. Now they're, you know, and he jokingly sort of tells her on the plane, he's like, hey, I'm in the CIA, and she hangs up on him like, get out of here, nerd. And apparently she now knows and is okay with it. I don't know. We have to assume that. She scoffed, but now she's like, okay, now I'm about that lifestyle. Anyway, they're at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. All these beepers start going off, and all the important guys in the room are breaking free and leaving. And turns out Russia dropped a chemical warfare attack in Chechnya. Things escalated. Jack Ryan still, you know, they all meet up in this room. Jack Ryan's still like, no, man, Neverov wouldn't do that. And all the big dogs of the CIA are like, sit down, loser. But they're like, we're going to launch a counterattack. And Jack Ryan's like, no, hold up, hold up. And of course, Jack Ryan's correct. And we see this on the screen when Nemirov's in closed doors with his buddies. And they're like, oh, he's like, oh, I didn't do that. Who did this? Whatever. Then we go back to the Nazi group, the two Nazis. They're all meeting in this room, the Legion of Doom room. And these Nazi forces in Russia were the ones who actually bombed Chechnya. And the one guy makes a comment about how, oh, yeah, all of us Nazi and nationalist groups are now working together to change the world. I'm going to play the clip for you. Some of it's going to be subtitled, so I'll come back and tell you what they say. Let's go.
And how is our Russian friend affected by this?
I'm not affected. I remain devoted to our little plan.
That's what you're charging us. I'm not surprised.
And the American?
Mr. Misson is a believer. I put a little extra in the escrow account for him.
Why?
Because he won't live long enough to receive it.
Where is the package?
It left Haifa a week ago. I'm told these things can kill you.
Je vous prie de m'excuser, but so much has changed. Perhaps the new situation suggests we consider a different approach. Maybe he tried to bring Russia more into Europe, more into our way of thinking.
We have discussed that, Monsieur Monceau. And with your concurrence, rejected it.
Oh, perhaps we were hasty. Perhaps our plan is...
Is what?
Oh, not perfectly conceived.
Bist du verrückt? Auf der ganzen Welt arbeiten rechtsradikale Parteien, nationalistische Bewegungen, Nazis, Aryan Nations, zum ersten Mal alle zusammen? Das ist doch perfekt.
Well, I respect the will and judgment of my friends. But in light of the week's events, I am grown uncomfortable with this plan. So I must beg your leave.
Now, some of that was subtitled, so they said, all over the world, right-wing parties, nationalist movements, Nazis, Aryan nations, all working together for the first time. Is that not perfect? So that's what's going on in the movie. And you also hear that there's an American Nazi sympathizer who's part of this plan. And what's his name? Mr. Mason. Mr. Mason. On the nose. And then, anyway, the one guy you heard talking, he's like, I don't want to do this. I'm going to leave. And they're like, okay, you can leave. But they kill him first. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, now we're in Baltimore. And we meet Mr. Mason. He's just some dude working the docks. Said he was in the Navy for 8 months. Anyways, he facilitates for this nuke to come from Israel through Olsen, through the Nazi forces, to come into America. And he's on email. This is 2002. He's on email. He's got a Netscape.net email, which I thought was great. Great little throwback. Is Netscape even a thing anymore? Back in 2002, like, if you didn't have Netscape browser, you ate shit. Back in those days. Okay, John Clark, Ray Donovan, he visits one of the three missing scientists, visits his mother, convinces her he's buddies with the guy, and basically he figures out that the three Russian scientists are actually in Ukraine working on this nuke for the Nazis that got procured. And they confirm to Nazi Olsen that it's operational. Uh-oh, right? Okay, so Jack Ryan, he's making out with his little girlfriend. Phone rings. Duty calls, of course. Gets orders from Cabot to go join John Clark in Ukraine to share some intel with him. They end up, Jack Ryan, is it Jack Ryan or John Ryan? I already forgot. Jack Ryan? Yeah, Jack Ryan and John Clark, that's Ben Affleck and Ray Donovan, they sneak into this place where the scientists were working on the bomb, but they're gone. Where are they? Well, turns out they're all dead. And meanwhile, some Ukrainian soldiers find them, blah, blah, blah. They basically put together that there's a piece of this crate that the nuke was in, and they figure out that the nuke is headed to Baltimore through the ports in Israel. Okay, the Nazi forces meet up again, and they're sort of, fluffing each other about how great fascism is and Hitler's influence is still to be found everywhere. Take a listen.
Most people believe the 20th century was defined by the death struggle of communism versus capitalism, and that fascism was but a hiccup. Today we know better. Communism was a fool's errand. The followers of Marx gone from this earth, but the followers of Hitler are bound and thrive. Hitler, however, had one great disadvantage. He lived in a time when fascism, like a virus, like the AIDS virus, needed a strong host in order to spread. Germany was that host, but strong as it was, Germany could not prevail. The world was too big. Fortunately, the world has changed. Global communications, cable TV, the internet. Today the world is smaller. And the virus does not need a strong host in order to spread. This virus is airborne. One more thing. Let no man call us crazy. They called Hitler crazy. But Hitler wasn't crazy. He was stupid. You don't fight Russia and America. You get Russia and America to fight each other. And destroy each other.
These Nazi forces are trying to set a stage of USA versus Russia. And through false flags. False flag operations to make us go to war with each other. So that they can take over and create a fascist new world order. And they even talk about how they're going to use the internet to help facilitate this, which is one of the themes. I know people go back and forth on this of Russian disinformation bots and agents and trolling and all kinds of stuff. Now, ironically, the day I watched this film, Nick Hinton, a guest on the show a couple times, he had a good thread on Twitter about Donald Trump and Donnie Darko. It's pretty fascinating. And part of that thread had a tweet quote from JFK. And I of course, looked into this. And it turns out this is from his diary. And there was an article written in March 2017 on the BBC website. And the full quote says, "Hitler will emerge from the hatred that surrounds him now as one of the most significant figures who ever lived." That's what JFK said in his diary. And it kind of co-opts what these Nazi forces in the film we're talking about. And it makes me wonder, because that is one of the main narratives going on right now. And this is, you know, because I think both sides play into the fears of their constituents and base, right? Like Republicans play on the fear of like, oh, these liberals want to change the world and let people have pronouns and blah, 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 blah. And there's everything's dangerous. There's crime everywhere. We need authoritarian police state to protect you. Like, that's what their fear they play on. But the liberal fears they play on to the liberal base is, like, these Republicans want to instill an authoritarian Nazi police state. And they're gonna make it a white Christian nationalist country. And that's kind of what this movie presents. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, that's up to you. Okay? I know there's lots of arguing on Twitter about, oh, these are all false flags. And the reality is, the truth lies somewhere between. I think false flags exist, yes. But just because there's a thing going on of someone politically I'm aligned with doesn't mean I'm going to be like, well, that's a false flag because I don't believe it. No, like, I don't know what the answer is. It's kind of blended. Anyway, so now we're at the Baltimore sports ball game. President Fowler is going to be in attendance for this one. And I'll put the image up on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. The most prominent jersey you see on the football team is the number 93. It's centered right on the screen. Possible synchronicity with Crowley's most important number, 93, as well as what we... This is all from Trump Conspiracy Part 1. If you didn't listen to that, I don't know what you're doing. Go back and listen to that when you're done here. I'll put the link in the show notes. Because the BlackRock commercial with the shooter had the number 93 jersey in the background. Is it the same jersey from Sum of All Fears? I don't know. Maybe. So Jack Ryan calls William Cabot, who's at the game with the president, and tells him, he says, hey, like, that nuke was shipped to Baltimore, so maybe you want to get out of that stadium because I think the Nazi forces are trying to kill you. So the Secret Service does their job, and they rush the president out just in time because the nuke explodes in the football stadium in the center of Baltimore. It's a pretty wild part of the movie. So President Fowler, he's zooming around on Air Force One, making plans, and you got all this tension because the president wants to send shots over to Russia. But Jack Ryan, he's still convinced that Nemirov isn't that kind of guy. He wouldn't do this. So they're going back and forth, unpacking theories and evidence. And anyway, there's this whole dialogue with Nemirov. Everyone's being mad sus. And what are the Nazis doing this whole time? The billionaire Nazi in Australia, he's watching the news unfold from his secret library, rich guy lair. And it's full of mounted dead butterflies. This makes me think of Project Monarch, of course, because it's believed that we got a lot of these ideas of Project Monarch, MK Ultra, from the Nazis. You know, the CIA used Nazi program. This came from NPR. I'm going to read you from journalist Stephen Kinzer, who was interviewed by NPR, and he said the CIA mind control project MK Ultra was essentially a continuation of work that began in Japanese and Nazi concentration camps. And I think that's a great example of how it's not so hard to believe that there is a Nazi fascist deep state. I don't think that's that hard to believe, that the deep state is actually Nazi fascists. Because we basically were like, oh, these evil German Nazis, they have all these concentration camps over there. It's terrible. They're rounding up people based on their ethnicity. And then meanwhile, we're doing the same exact thing in America. We're rounding up Japanese Americans and putting them in concentration camps. We did it for years. It's insane. Oh, the Nazis, let's bring them over for rocket science and NASA and make Disney promos with Wernher von Braun. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how closely tied we actually are. And that's the argument put forth here, is that MK Ultra mind control projects, which allegedly Project Monarch is a sub program of, is a continuation of the work that began in the concentration camps in Germany. Okay, so Jack Ryan, he's building a case to try to convince President Fowler, like, look, it's not Nemirov. He wouldn't do this. And Cabot, he died in the whatever. His last words to Ryan is Spinnaker. That's the KGB dude who's on the inside with the CIA. So Jack Ryan snags Cabot's phone, and he finds out that the plutonium was sourced from America, thus it's an American bomb, and they instantly know it's the Broken Arrow from 1973. So they call him Nick Cage. And like, Nick Cage, call the Church of Scientology to speak with John Travolta. Tom Cruise answers the phone, tells him it's the Arabs, and they discovered this nuke. So anyway, I don't know. It's not John Clark. He's still over in Europe. It wasn't very funny. John Clark, Ray Donovan, he's over in Europe still investigating. He finds the Arabic guy, lies to him, tells him he's a doctor, which I thought was kind of cold-blooded because the guy's dying. But whatever, he's able to quickly find out that the Nazi billionaire is the one who bought it, okay? So now everyone, Ray Donovan, Ben Affleck, they're both like, illuminate, confirm, Nazi deep state. And then we go back, we hear that the guy who signed for the bomb was a guy named Mr. Mason. Of course, the Mason is the Masonic cryptocracy that James Shelby Downer talked about. See part one. She didn't listen to part one yet. So bombs are dropping, things are escalating, stealth bombers with nukes are sent to Russia to prepare for the apocalypse. They call the process snap count. Russians are doing the same. And Dr. Kathy, she lived through the blast, by the way, in case you're wondering what Jack Ryan's girlfriend's up to. So Jack Ryan, he keeps trying to tell the president, no, it's actually these Nazi deep states. Easier said than done, though, right? First he gets beat up by some big Nazis, then he has to convince all these higher-ups that he should even get to talk to the president. Remember, Cabot's dead now. Cabot was the guy touring Jack Ryan around. He's a nobody. Jack Ryan gets on the computer with Nemirov and basically negotiates to have Russia and U.S. chill out. And in the last possible second, the U.S. and Russia stand down. Agreements are signed. Life goes back to normal. However, cue up the opera music. This is where things get interesting. This is the whole reason I watched this movie is because I heard that. Well, let me walk through the scene first. The opera music cues up and we hear a opera popularized by Pavarotti called Nessun Dorma. And it's Italian for let no one sleep. Ironically, during the scene, lots of people are getting put to sleep. Okay. Because the music in the film, it plays while the CIA and the KGB are killing Nazis. The deep state Nazis. Olsen, Dressler, some other dude. So this opera's playing while all these dudes are getting killed. Nazi deep state. Murdered. All right. So the reason that we're bringing this up is because the whole reason I watched this movie was because at the conclusion of the RNC after Trump's speech, this is the same opera music that plays. And a lot of people, QAnon type, MAGA, conspiracy leaning folks, were like, okay, Trump's telling us that he's going to kill the deep state. And they're thinking that he's going to kill, Clinton's and Biden's. And I'm like, no, that's not what the movie showed us. The movie showed us the Nazi deep state were the enemies. Anyway. So that happens. Then the denouement, Jack Ryan, Dr. Kathy, they're having a little picnic. Here comes Spinnaker. It's the Russian KGB dude. It reveals to Ryan, like, I've been buddies with Cabot this whole time. I'm the dude. Credits roll, blah, blah, blah. So in conclusion, the movie is kind of relevant to the popular hot topics of 2024. Ukraine, Russia, Israel, nukes, Nazis, white nationalists. And that's what the movie's all about. It's about Nazi forces using false flag operations to dupe America and Russia into hating each other and going to war with each other so that after these two have expended all their forces and are exhausted, the Nazis can come in and instill a global new world order and take over the world. That's what it's about. And they're going to leverage the internet to do so. That's one of the things people talk about. And that bomb in the stadium was intended to assassinate the U.S. president. That's the assassination attempt. It was by the Nazis, not the, people think, this is showing us that the American deep state is trying to assassinate Trump. I mean, you could look at it that way, but that's not really what the film is showing us. It depends on how you define deep state. Most people assume deep state is American secret government, whereas in this film, the people trying to assassinate the president is an outside group using a radical dude who's actually not in the government at all. He just works at the dock, Mr. Mason, in order to get this bomb in for the false flag. So who's the deep state in this example in the movie? It's actually the Nazi forces. It's actually Mr. Mason, the Masons, the Masonic cryptocracy, which is exactly what we talked about in part one. James Shelby Downard, when referring and researching the JFK assassination, talked about these psychodramas being portrayed by the Freemasonic cryptocracy behind the major events. And that's kind of what this movie shows us. And so a lot of the theories, they're a little bit off. The stuff you see on the quick little social media blurbs like, oh, yeah, Trump doing the, he's showing us he's going to take out Clintons and Bidens. I mean, that's not really what the film shows us. I mean, I get the spirit of what the reference is. And it's not the closing credits. It's kind of like the final wrap up before the denouement. And they make it sound like it's, they make it sound like, oh, Trump got an attempted assassination by the deep state, i.e. the Clintons and the Bidens. So now Trump's telling us he's going to take them out. That's not really what the movie shows us. And that's what bugs me about conspiracies in general today. They've ruined it. Q and MAGA and Trump ruined conspiracy theories for everybody. Because now everyone takes every little seed of truth of something going on and they blow it up into their political opinion and then feed it to their biased audience who isn't independently thinking. And then it just spreads like wildfire. It got political. Just like how social media gets ruined by political ideologies, that's happened to the conspiracy world. And this is exactly what Steve Bannon said that they would do. He said they're going to flood the internet with bullshit. This is exactly what happened. But wait, there's more. Okay, hang in there. One last talking point, and this is a long one. We're going to unpack the full 93-minute speech by Donald Trump. And then I'm going to let you go. Lots of people talked about how the RNC convention wrapped up with the Trump speech, and then they play the opera music that's from Sum of All Fears. So I sat through the whole thing, and I was actually kind of shocked. I wasn't, because, okay, let's start it. Let's just go. Remember, this is 93 minutes. We talked about the significance of that number, and it showed up in Sum of All Fears as a football jersey, which is also in the BlackRock commercial. Is it the same football jersey? I don't know. That'd be pretty crazy if you could prove that. First clip, 10 seconds in, Donald Trump thanks Kid Rock, and listen to how he references him. Take a listen.
Thank you, Kid Rock, sometimes referred to as Bob.
Now, if you're a supporter of my show and you're enjoying my Twin Peaks Grey Lodge super ultra deep dive into everything Twin Peaks, you haven't made it to the end of the journey yet. At the end of season 3, we're going to read the final dossier, which Mark Frost writes about the conclusion of many characters in the Twin Peaks universe, including Lana. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just bear with me 2 seconds. From the final dossier, on her way up the plutocratic food chain, Lana briefly dated a notorious resident of the certain eponymous tower on Fifth Avenue who was either between wives, stepping out, or merely window shopping. I was able to locate one society page photograph of the duo at some charity gala in which the man appears to be wearing an unusual green ring on his left finger. But the resolution of the shot proved insufficient for closer examination. And what he's talking about is, Mark Frost is talking about Donald Trump dating a woman named Lana from the show. And what's interesting is that Trump is, because that's exactly who he's talking about. Okay. Trump is wearing the green ring, the jade ring, the cursed ring, which it's got a death curse, which means that Trump is destined to go to the Black Lodge with Bob. And from what I don't know Mark Frost personally, obviously. I haven't even read his bio, but from what I understand, I would assume leans more liberal, so he probably doesn't like Donald Trump. That's my assumption. I could be wrong. Don't quote me. But Trump is an evil force from the Black Lodge. And I thought that was interesting because at the beginning of the very beginning, Trump's talking about Kid Rock and he's like, we call him Bob. Bob from the Black Lodge. And then the speech goes on. I took some casual notes, but like, look, I'm politically biased here because I don't like Trump. So I'm not going to just pick on him for, I don't do political things on this show because it's like, what good does that do? So the next clip, this is the part I want to talk to you about. This is going to be a couple minutes long, And listen to the way he describes the moment where he got shot. Take a listen.
But he ran, and by not stampeding, many lives were saved. But that isn't the reason that they didn't move. The reason is that they knew I was in very serious trouble. They saw it. They saw me go down. They saw the blood and thought, actually, most did, that I was dead. They knew it was a shot to the head. They saw the blood. And there's an interesting statistic. The ears are the bloodiest part. If something happens with the ears, they bleed more than any other part of the body. For whatever reason, the doctors told me that. I said, why is there so much blood? He said, it's the ears. They bleed more. So we learned something, but...
And he goes on, and he's talking about how it's a providential moment. I mean, he's real heavy on the idea that God saved him. And I'm not taking that away from him. I actually think it's pretty amazing what happened there. It could be, right? Could be. Or you could take on the perspective of someone had an example of Valkyrie, which was a Tom Cruise movie where... I guess inner Nazi forces were trying to take Hitler out or something like that. I haven't seen the movie in a long time. And it was at the last second they changed the conference room that Hitler was supposed to be in, and he dodged the assassination attempt by seconds. And people back then, Nazi forces, were like, oh, that was an act of God, or gods for them. I'm sure they're pagan. So, I mean, it depends. Depends on who you are. And then some people even say that demonic forces... God will allow demonic forces to do things to facilitate events. So, I mean, you could literally put this whatever way you want. I do think it's kind of if I was Trump, I'd feel like that was God. But he said that people thought he was dead. And this is, in part one, we talked about the book of Revelation 13:3, about how in the final age, the final time, that the leader... the Antichrist will have a mortal head wound and people will think he's dead and then be amazed by the miracle of him living. So he kind of is playing on that angle. Maybe take from that what you will. There's a part at 38 minutes in, he says, we'll never let them steal the election again. I mean, that plays into the liberal conspiracy that Trump is willing to steal the election. Like when he called Georgia and said, find me 15,000 votes or whatever he said, right? And I'm not opening that can of worms with you guys. You already believe what you want to believe about it. I'm just telling you what the man said. We'll never let them steal the election again. So he's already planting the seeds of saying, like, if I lose, that means they stole it, which is like insane. It's like the most childish thing. It's like, well, if I lose, then it was an unfair game. But if I win, then it was fair, which seems crazy to me. He talks about, anyways, I'm not going to keep going on picking on Trump. This is the clip I want to play, and we're going to wrap it up. This is the clip where he fulfilled a prediction I made in part one. Take a listen.
America is on the cusp of a new golden age, but we will have the courage to seize it. We're going to take it. We're going to make it a current. I mean, we're going to bring this into a golden age like never seen before. Remember this. China wants to do it. Japan wants to do it. All of these countries want to do it. We have to produce massive amounts of energy if we're going to produce the new. If you look at some of the things that have been done, and some of the things that we're going to do. But AI needs literally twice the electricity that's available now in our country. Can you imagine? But instead, we're spending places where they recharge electric cars. They built 8 chargers in a certain location toward the Midwest. 8 chargers.
He said, America is going into the new golden age. I mean, I can't believe it. And then he goes on to talk about how we need to fuel AI. What? Now, if you recall, you can go listen to the Trump Part 1 episode I did. And near the end, I said to watch out for this coded language. And to be fair, I released this on the supporter feeds on the morning of the 18th. And the free feed losers got it the next day on the 19th. Trump's speech was on the evening of the 18th. Okay, so when I recorded it, it was beforehand, and I even said, here's the things we need to look out for at the Trump speech tonight, okay? I said, if you hear Trump talk about New Age or a New World Order in the speech on Thursday night, I'm not liking that. That doesn't make me feel good. I said, watch out for that. And that's exactly what he said. Why did I say that? Why did he say that? Is this prophecy? Did I predict the future? No, it's conspiracy. All right. It's one of the first conspiracies I ever talked about in my very first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, which you can get on Amazon, Audible, signed copies on Gumroad, or you can just get it for free. I'll give it to you for free. The free PDF download. If you go to my website, IlluminatiWatcher.com, and sign up for the free email newsletter, you'll see sign up links for it everywhere. If you just go to the About tab at the beginning, you can check it out there. Check out the whole story. I'm going to read to you right from the book. I wrote this in 2012. The Illuminati on Earth would therefore be worshiping the existence. I'm talking about the digital matrix, because that's where this all ends, folks. Folks, this is where it all ends. The Illuminati on Earth would therefore be worshiping the existence of this matrix because they are the benefactors of it. Illuminati members are rich and powerful and living in their own golden age. Similar to Cypher from the film The Matrix, who understands that he's being manipulated but reaps the only benefits he can, even at the detriment of his peers. All right. Then later on, I talk in the book about Saturnian symbolism and how Saturn represents the golden age. Saturn is linked with the destruction of our common bonds with one another and a focus on earthly values that ultimately waste our time and attract our energies towards something negative. And who benefits from this? The Illuminati. And, you know, the book goes on to discuss connected symbolism of the all-seeing eye, which was what we saw at the pyramid apex at the RNC. Remember the images we talked about? The RNC, they showed the pyramid from the dollar bill. And instead of the all-seeing eye, you got the head of the politicians that each went up there. The Phoenix, which we talked about with the CyberStrike logo on the Trump Conspiracy Part 2, the most recent episode. That's a supporters only. Another reason to sign up for my supporters feed. As well as the black cube and Saturn, which would years later, you know, BlackRock, which is heavily invested through Peter Thiel, who's besties with J.D. Vance and Trump and all this stuff. So there's lots of connections there. But if you want more on the Golden Age, go check out my book. You can get it for free. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, sign up for the free email newsletter, and you can read because I've got a whole chapter based on it, right? Actually, if you look at the table of contents, chapter 4, we talk about ancient cultures and ancient aliens, and I talked about the Egyptian Golden Age. But then in chapter 7, when I talk about the Moon and Saturn Matrix, this is kind of the final chapter, which tells you about how the Illuminati want us trapped in the digital matrix. And one of those subsections is called Illuminati Desires for a Golden Age, because they use this language all the time. Over and over and over. So Trump saying that is alarming to me because he is tied. And then the next words out of his mouth is about how we need to fuel AI. He's also supposedly working cryptocurrency into, I don't know, the Fed or something. So in conclusion, to wrap all this up, is Trump Illuminate confirmed? I don't know. I don't know that anything I could say could change your mind anyway. So I'll just say this, you know, if you like the guy, like the guy. You want to vote for the guy? Vote for the guy. You want to root for him? Root for him. You should. If that's your guy, vote for him. Root for him. That's fine. All I ask is you please, please don't put this guy as an idol, a false idol, a god, some kind of holier than thou god that needs to be worshipped. Don't use people who don't agree with it to start political violence. Like, that's it. The fact that I specifically said to watch for that certain phrase and then it actually happened and he actually said it, combined with the Great Seal New World Order symbolism that we saw all over the RNC stage, to me is alarming. To me, I think Illuminati confirm Antichrist. Do I know that? Not enough to lose sleep over it, but I mean, I can't deny it. I mean, these are things that I'm seeing. They talk about the Golden Age with the New World Order, with the Great Seal that says New World Order, Novus Ordo Seclorum on the RNC stage. I mean, all these things are lining up, especially with Trump's interest in apparently fueling AI. This is what gets us into the digital matrix, into the Golden Age for the Illuminati, for the elites, not for you. It's not for you and me. It's for them. We eat shit in the digital matrix. They enjoy life on yachts and jet skis and stuff. They enjoy the nature of God's creation. We're separated from it through the Saturnian scythe. That's what the Saturn symbolism is all about. That's what BlackRock is all about. And that's why all these things are connected. And then, of course, Trump gets done with the speech, and they actually, to get it actually accurate, Trump finishes his speech, balloons drop, family photos on stage, and they're playing some version of Hold On, I'm Coming, that song. But then after that song, a guy named Christopher Macchio performs that Pavarotti song. I looked up Macchio's Twitter. he retweeted, someone played a clip of this on Twitter, of that opera song, and wrote, RNC closes with the Italian classic Nessun Dorma. Trump knows exactly what he's doing, .. And that fueled, I'm guessing, that fuels a lot of this idea that, oh, Trump's taking out the deep state. But I'm like, that ain't this, in the movie, that ain't the same deep state. Macchio also retweeted a meme. I thought this was an interesting choice. He retweeted a meme of Obama, and it said, first black. And then underneath it, it had a picture of Trump with his fist up from the rally after getting shot. It said, first N-word. I thought that was an interesting choice of things to retweet from an Italian guy. But anyway, the strange synchronicity here with the sum of all fears makes me curious about the whole nationalist, fascist, Nazi angle. But again, I'll be fair. Like, I'm just saying, that's the liberal conspiracy of the right. They each play on the fears, and that's what I don't like about either side. Like, we need to love each other and move forward as one. No more divisiveness, because they keep us divided and then nothing changes. And isn't that what we always bitch about in the conspiracy world? Is like, there's a control system. Well, then we need to change it. Well, we can't change it if we're divided all the time. We don't know who the enemies are, who the Illuminati is. So overall, what should we do? Well, nothing. No anxiety, like we talked about in part one. You're not supposed to have anxiety. You're not supposed to have hatred. You're not supposed to be violent. Vote for who you want to vote for. Believe in what you want to believe. Just respect other people's beliefs. It's okay. Be the best version of yourself. Stay positive.